From Washington, D.C., the American Broadcasting Company brings you Issues and Answers. The issues are the methods of government operations disclosed by the Billy Saul Estes case. To bring you the answers, Judge Will Wilson, Attorney General of Texas in charge of the Texas State Investigations, and Senator Edmund Muskie, Democrat of Maine, member of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, now holding hearings on the Estes case. Here to interview Attorney General Wilson and Senator Muskie is ABC correspondent Bob Clark, who has covered the Estes story in both Washington and Texas.
Judge Wilson, you probably know as much about the Billy Saul Estes case as anyone. You've presided over 7 courts of inquiry of your own in Texas. Do you think Billy Saul Estes got favors from friends in high places in Washington?
I don't think there's any question at all that he built an empire upon government influence, primarily in the Department of Agriculture. Yes, I think he did get favors, and lots of them, from officials here in Washington.
Who do you think was helping Billy Saul in Washington?
Well, in my judgment, the 3 people who've already been fired were helping him. That's Mr. Jacobs, Dr. Ralph, Mr. Morris. There were others in the department who have not as yet been fired, and this is where one of the places I differ with Secretary Orville Freeman. People whom I think, based upon their official action in this case, should be fired for granting favors, and in as far as Estes are concerned, there are a number of them.
I'd be interested in knowing who they are, Judge Wilson.
Well, in my judgment, Undersecretary Charlie Murphy should be. Mr. Horace Godfrey, administrator of the ASCS program. General Counsel John Bagwell. Mr. Joe Moss, director of the Cotton Division. Mr. Tom Miller, acting Southwest Area Director.
Well, may I ask this with respect to the people you've named? What favors have they received from Mr. Estes? Understand that the Subcommittee on Investigations has just begun its work. You've had the advantage of several weeks of inquiry. Now, up to this point in our hearings, which have taken but 3 days of this week, there's been no evidence that any of these gentlemen, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Bagwell, Mr. Godfrey, and so on, have received any favors from Mr. Estes. So I'd be interested in knowing what favors you think they've received.
I base that not on favors received from Estes. I don't know what the evidence will disclose or that there will be any favors received.
None of the evidence you've had is to date discloses they have received any favors.
No, that's correct. As far as receiving favors from Estes is concerned.
Well, I think that point ought to be made very clearly at the outset.
Yes, sir, that's a good point. I base mine on what they did and in the handling of the cotton allotment situation.
Well, is what is involved a question on your part as to their exercise of judgment?
Well, it's their official actions. It all involves judgment, of course, but their official action on the cotton allotment situation.
But to the extent that the evidence you've adduced is concerned, no indication that their judgment has been influenced by any favors received from Mr. Estes.
I don't know what influenced their judgment,
but
Senator.
But you've disclosed none yet.
I've disclosed none, that's right. I don't pass judgment on that. I judge them by what they did on the cotton allotment situation.
Can you be more specific, Judge Wilson, as to what type of favors you think these employees at the Agriculture Department did for Estes?
Well,
I understand they're not favors. At this point, it's a question of judgment, except with respect to 3 that that Judge Wilson is named as having received favors.
Senator, you misunderstood what I said. You asked me about favors received from Estes. I'm talking about favoritism extended to Estes. And I think...
Well, favoritism induced by what?
I don't know what induced it.
Well, then what is involved, as I understand it then, is simply a decision which, if it were influenced by reasons other than the merits of whatever was involved, unless it was influenced by the merits. You have no indication that the judgment's influenced by anything but the merits. You disagree with the judgment. But it's not favoritism unless it is influenced by some desire to do Estes a favor, I would think.
Well, I think that is fairly apparent from the way they handled the situation and what they did. For instance, Mr. Murray, Murphy, appointed Estes to the Cotton Advisory Council when his own staff had recommended against it and pointed out the things that Estes had done, and when the facts were fully before him at a time when, under my estimate of the situation, he shouldn't have done it at all. It would sort of be like appointing Jimmy Hoffa to a...
Do you have any reason to believe that Mr. Murphy's judgment in that case was influenced by any desire to do Estes a favor?
He certainly...
Or was it simply bad judgment? And I think Secretary Freeman this week has indicated that in his judgment this was bad judgment.
He certainly did him a favor, and a big favor. Now, what went into that, I don't know.
I'm not so sure it was such a big favor, but as of this moment, in your inquiries, you found no reason for Murphy to desire to do a personal favor to Mr. Estes.
I found no gifts, if that's what you mean, Senator.
Well,
no gifts.
Anything else other than gifts that might have disposed Murphy to do Estes a personal favor?
No, sir. I don't know of anything flowing from Estes to Murphy, if that's what you're asking.
In other words, it's just as reasonable to suggest that this was simply bad judgment and not a desire to exert favoritism.
I think it went beyond bad judgment, and if you regard it as bad judgment, it was such bad judgment as to require his discharge.
Well, then this is a question of judgment on your part.
Yes, sir, it is.
Would you agree, Judge Wilson, that Secretary Freeman is now doing his best to clean up whatever problem has existed at the Agriculture Department?
I personally don't think so, and again, that's a matter of judgment, as the Senator pointed out, but Mr. Freeman has been defensive. He has, in my judgment, not acted as he should have, and he has tried to defend the, more or less, the subordinates in the Bureau who have done these things for us.
I see no indication in the hearings this week of a desire on the part of Secretary Freeman to cover up anybody. He said frankly and indicated frankly when he thought his subordinates had been guilty of bad judgment in this entire series of events. He discharged people who, in his judgment, were guilty of bad judgment or bad taste as quickly as he learned of the facts which bore upon it. And my impression is entirely contrary from yours, Judge Wilson.
Well, that's where you and I differ, Senator, I think. I feel like he could have acted a great deal more... promptly than he did, and especially in the matter of the cotton allotment situation. That drug along for 6 months through the department there after the report came in, and in my judgment...
I disagree with this. In October of 1961, the department imposed a penalty of $47,000 to $48,000 upon Estes for Estes' planting of cotton without an approved allotment.
That
transfer.
Was on the Alabama.
This is on the Alabama situation, and this was months before this Estes thing broke in public. And the department imposed that penalty of $47,000. Secondly, the investigation, which was initiated by the department on July 5th of 1961, long before the public disclosure of Estes' manipulations, was in the hands of the department in the latter part of October, in Mr. Godfrey's hands November 3rd, and in less than 2 weeks thereafter, Mr. Godfrey canceled the 1962 allotments. And these were the allotments under which no plantings had yet been made. These were the allotments for the year to come. These were canceled and were never restored. And this is not a matter of 6 months. This is a matter of less than 2 weeks. And then in December of 1961, the 1961 allotments were canceled by the department.
But no penalty imposed.
The penalty could not be imposed at that point. The cancellation at that point was preliminary to the imposition of a penalty. And there are several hundred, or not several hundred, but upwards of 100 of displaced farmers whose rights were involved here, not all of whom had been interviewed or investigated at this point. They also presumably at least opened to the possibility of penalty under the Act. And this had not been, their rights were involved in December. Estes himself and his attorneys felt that they had acted legitimately. Of course, the department, from the time of the receipt of the report, never agreed. The department had felt it had been invalid
for the general. In December, the general counsel advised them that it was a scheme and a device and illegal.
That's right.
At that time, the whole matter should have gone to the Department of Justice, should it not?
If we can find some area of agreement here, perhaps, gentlemen, you would not, Judge Wilson, go as far as some Republicans, would you, and suggest that Secretary Freeman should resign?
I personally think he should, yes. I feel like that he has not pushed this thing through. I think the Estes thing could have been stopped in its inception, should have been. I feel like that the report stayed some almost 6 months in the department after they knew what it was, and that the report and the discharges were not done until after the arrest of Estes and the disclosure of irregularities, and in my judgment, the evidence which your committee undoubtedly will develop will disclose that had Estes not collapsed, in all probability those cotton lobs would have been approved and put on through.
I doubt this. I doubt it, and I think we ought to back up a little bit here. I think we ought to back up a little. Now, the system of dealing with these cotton allotments is designed to put the responsibility for the operation of the program at the county level.
That's correct.
And the state level. This is based upon the assumption that we operate in a federal system and that to the extent possible, responsibility ought to go back to the grassroots, which in this case was the county level. Now, the decisions on the county level, which were made, approving the 1961 allotments, were made by a county committee.
Well, now, Senator...
Now, if I may, yes. If I may finish this presentation of what I understand to be the facts on the basis of this week's hearings before our committee. These decisions were made on the county level by a committee that was elected in September of 1960, before the 1960 presidential election. That committee was still in office a year later when it was replaced at a new election. It was that committee which made the decisions approving the allotments. These decisions were made at the county level. Now, there are people who feel that authority ought to be centered there, as it was then. Now, this Secretary of Agriculture, as a result of these unfortunate events, has now set down the requirement that these allotments must, in every case, be reviewed by Washington. So here we see this concentration of authority in Washington, which, if it had existed in 1960, might have prevented these events. But this was 1960, before Secretary Freeman was appointed.
I don't think...
And now the people in the county office down there in Reeves County, who were at least in a position to influence the decisions by the county committee, are people, in some instances, who have received favors. There's Mr. William P. Mattox, who was former vice chairman of Reeves County. He received plane fare and hotel.
Well...
expenses from Mr. Estes in January of 1962. He was in office in 1960. And he was removed by the Texas Committee in May 8th of 1962 of this year by the Texas Committee, which by that time had been appointed by this administration. Then there's Mr. Rufus D. Atkinson, who was former office manager of the Reeves County ASC Committee. He received a $50 gift certificate in quantities of beef in 1960, as I understand it, from Mr. Estes. And he was suspended in June 19th of this year by the state committee, which had been appointed by this administration. Then there's Mr. Alvin J. Weimer, former performance supervisor of Reeves County. He received a $50 certificate, as I understand it, and we haven't heard all of this evidence in our committee. In December of 1960, and he was suspended June 19th of 1962. Now, these events, these gifts, were given to these people on the county level, where the initial decisions of approval were made, and they were done before Secretary Freeman took office.
Senator, I wonder if we can move back to Washington for just a moment here. There have been reports of a list of names of congressmen and other government officials who got gifts from Billy Saul Estes. Do you know of any such list?
Well, I know. There's been reference in the hearings this week to three gentlemen whom Judge Wilson has referred to this afternoon. There's Mr. Emory Jacobs, who is alleged to have received, clothing.
Aside from these disclosures that have already been made public, do you know of any members of Congress who received gifts of cash or any other sort from Estes?
Well, all I know on that score, there's been nothing developed in the hearings, but I understand from the news coverage of these events, and they've not been disputed, that Senator Yarborough received campaign contributions. I understand from Mr. Estes. I'm not sure about some of these others. These were campaign contributions. I think there may have been one or two others, including possibly a Republican congressman, although he has his defense too, as to Senator Yarborough, and there may have been others. The only one that recurs to me right now is Senator Yarborough, and he's undertaken to explain that publicly as a campaign contribution. Many of us received them. I'm sure that Judge Wilson, well, I'm not sure, I can't speak for Judge Wilson, but I'm sure he's received campaign contributions in the past, and we don't undertake to submit every contributor to our campaigns to an FBI investigation. Now, to what extent more than this is involved, I don't know, Bob.
Judge Wilson? Senator, I'd like to say this, that the approval by that committee was done under the direction of a man named Marshall, the one who was... He was a career employee in the department, the one who died of gunshot wounds on June the 3rd.
Was also operating in Texas.
That's right, under the Texas
and who
committee.
I think was in office when? When did he go into the department?
He's been a career man there many, many years.
Many years.
Now, in my judgment...
May I say at this point, Judge Wilson, that our committee at this point in its hearings hasn't gone into the details of Marshall's relationship, so I'm relying upon your...
I'll say this, that... You'll find, in my judgment, that Marshall was one of the key men in arranging these transfers through those committees. That the whole transaction were known all the way up and down the hierarchy in the Department of Agriculture. They were killed in Alabama. They were not killed in other states.
This impression that I get from what you're saying is markedly different from the impression I've gotten from this week's evidence.
Well, I haven't followed the evidence, but I'm sure when you get all the evidence, you'll see that if the Alabama transfers were correctly killed by Washington, the ones from Oklahoma should have been, and the ones from Texas should have been.
Let me go over the evidence as we have it now and let you comment on it. The Alabama penalty was imposed in October of 1961, and...
It was stopped by a letter from Jacobs on April the 12th.
Who was then what?
He was a deputy of some kind, or he was in the top of the agriculture.
This penalty was stopped when?
Oh, the transfer of the allotments were stopped by Jacobs on April the 12th of 1961. At the same time...
As I understand it, the ruling in April 12th of 1961...
Stop.
...was a ruling upon a blank contract, which was not identified as an Estes contract...
But was, in fact, one of them.
...was, in fact, similar to one that... And may have, in fact, been...
One of Estes' contracts.
But in any effect, in any event, it was the Washington office that ruled it invalid.
That's right. Now, that's one of the reasons that... It was after that that you find Jacobs as the prime mover putting this cotton allotment situation through the department.
Well, at this point, in April 12th of 1961, for the 1961 plantings, either in the ground or in process of being put in the ground. Isn't that not so?
That's correct.
So the applications for the transfer of allotments were already in process before this. They had to be.
That's right.
They had to be.
But now...
I don't have the dates when each of them were approved by the Pecos County and the Reeves County committees. But presumably, those approvals began 1 or 2 or 3 months earlier and may have extended
beyond. At the same time, protest came in from Mr. Carl Albert of Oklahoma, Mr. Sam Rayburn of Texas.
And these things which alerted the department to begin its own investigation in July 5th, which is less than 2 months after the April 12th ruling.
Well, Mr. Bibberly, I believe his name is. It's either Bibberly or Bibberly.
I think it's spelled B-I-E-B-E-R-L-Y.
Gave instructions, if I understand them correctly, about the same time as the Jacob instructions to the Oklahoma Committee to go ahead and approve the transfer.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid we're getting into details that can't be proved by an argument here. I wonder, Judge Wilson, if you would be satisfied with the job the Justice Department is now doing with 75 FBI agents on the case.
I feel like that if those people are being properly used, they'll uncover every stone and come up with all of the evidence, and it should be very
this is
useful.
What we want.
Yes, sir.
May I say this? Number one, that I doubt very much that it's reasonable to suggest the department ought to be responsible for Estes Sellers' talk. Number two, I think that in order to evaluate the history of Estes grain storage, you've got to look at the whole picture. And I suggest, and that our committee has not gone into this at this point. There was some references to it in Secretary Freeman's statement this week. And those references were explored somewhat by questioning of the minority members of the committee, Senators Munt and Curtis. But so far as movement of grain from Kansas or the Kansas office, which covers more than the state of Kansas, into Texas and into the Estes warehouses. For the period 1959, 60, and 61, out of 273 million bushels that were moved from Kansas to Texas, and I ought to say at least this much about the reason for that movement. It's a movement toward the Texas port cities for the purposes of overseas sales. And out of that 273 million, something like 4.6 million bushels went into Estes storehouse, which is 1.7% of the total. And I might say this in addition, that of the grain which was reconstituted in West Texas warehouses, the evidence that I've seen is that a smaller percentage of the space offered by Estes was used by the government for this purpose than it was the case with other West Texas terminals.
We have heard a lot, Judge Wilson, about large cash withdrawals made by Billy Sal Estes, coincident with trips to Washington. Do you have any evidence that he made large cash gifts to anyone in Washington?
There are evidence in the books of unexplained withdrawals of cash. What he did with that, no one knows. And that gets to this.
I think, Judge Wilson, in all fairness, you ought to pinpoint those and identify them, because the only ones I've heard of are in connection with the so-called Washington Project, which was a housing project in the state of Washington.
That's correct.
Gentlemen, I am sorry to interrupt you a final time, but our time is up. Thank you both, Senator Muskie and Judge Wilson, for being with us today on Issues and Answers.